2 years ago this week, a gunman in El Paso, Texas, killed 23 people in a Walmart, most of them Latino. The white man charged with murdering them allegedly told police that he came to the border city with the intention of targeting Mexicans. He reportedly complained about a Hispanic invasion of Texas and warned that the U.S. was in the process of, and these are his words here, a cultural and ethnic replacement. That language echoes the writing of an influential white nationalist who died at the age of 85 just weeks before the massacre. John Tanton was an eye doctor from northern Michigan, but he was better known to some as the architect of the modern anti-immigrant movement. And as we'll learn, his ideas still fester today. Mark Potok has been tracking Tanton's legacy for years. He's with the Center for Analysis of the Radical Right. Mark, welcome.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you. So who was John Tanton exactly, and what did he believe?
Well, he was an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor, but a guy who was early on an environmentalist, at least nominally very much on the left in his younger life. But he came in the course of a relatively few years to the idea that the main thing driving destruction of the environment was immigrants, overpopulation caused by immigration. From that point, he became more and more and more radical. Ultimately, in the 1980s, he wrote that he had come to believe that for European-American civilization to persist, we would need a European-American majority in this country and a clear one at that, quote unquote. Hmm.
So how is it that if he didn't start out as a firebrand, this ophthalmologist had ideas that started to catch on and spread?
Well, he was an incredibly industrious organizer. He built group after group. He had an enormous correspondence over the years with people involved in immigration in various ways. And ultimately, that correspondence came to include Holocaust deniers and eugenicists. He was particularly interested in this from a very young age in the quote-unquote science of eugenics, the basic idea being if we control who can reproduce in a society, we can breed a better human race.
As you say, he was foundational to a lot of prominent conservative anti-immigrant think tanks, one of them many people have heard of, Numbers USA. What kind of influence did those groups have?
These groups have been incredibly important. Groups like the Federation for American Immigration Reform, the Center for Immigration Studies, and Numbers USA, FAIR and CIS, between them, have testified to Congress more than 220 times over the years. We have not had any kind of major immigration reform in this country for 35 years, since 1986. And in my opinion, that is due almost entirely to the Tanton Network.
And why were those groups so successful at getting the ear of lawmakers? They were paying attention.
Well, I think they were very professional in the way they acted. For a long time, the racism and ethnocentrism that really characterized the groups in Tanton in particular were very much a secret. They weren't known. This began to leak out in 1988 when a series of memos that John Tanton had written a couple of years earlier were leaked and became public. They showed Tanton talking about how Latinos were not educable, that there was a Latin onslaught facing this country. And at the very same time, the same year, 1988, news emerged that the Tanton groups, or really one group in particular, had been soliciting funds and receiving funds from something called the Pioneer Fund. That is a eugenicist organization that was set up all the way back in 1937. It was extremely sympathetic to the Nazi cause. And this organization was formed for the purpose of, quote, race betterment of the original settlers of the first colonies in America. In other words, white people.
Despite that sort of shocking connection, some of the language you just used to describe Tanton's rhetoric reminds me of some of the things we have heard from very prominent Republican politicians in this country over the last few years, including the former president. Here's Donald Trump in 2018.
Large, well-organized caravans of migrants are marching toward our southern border. Some people call it an invasion. It's like an invasion.
And then here he is at the State of the Union in 2019.
I have ordered another 3,750 troops to our southern border to prepare for this tremendous onslaught.
Do you know where Donald Trump got this language? Was it from Tanton?
Yeah, it really pretty clearly came from Tanton. Tanton used extremely similar language, talking about an invasion and so on, and criminals coming across the border. But of course, Donald Trump never met John Tanton. However, Stephen Miller, who was Trump's senior policy advisor for all 4 years of his presidency, was in fact closely connected to the Tanton network. Miller is particularly close to the Center for Immigration Studies, which produces studies that are purportedly nonpartisan, but in fact have never found any aspect of immigration which they like. So Miller was in effect the bridge between the Tanton network and Donald Trump's policies, and of course was the principal architect of the separation of children and caging of children at the border.
It's more than just rhetoric, though, isn't it? I mentioned the El Paso shooting. The murderer had also used language that mimicked Tanton. What kind of connections do you see with real live violence?
Well, it's essentially a kind of permission giving. John Tanton himself never said anything to the effect of these people need to be killed. But there are a great many people out there in the United States who act on these kinds of things. So, you know, these are not organizations that in any way directly call for violence, but the language implies violence. We are under threat. We are being invaded by criminals who are diseased. They are after our children. They are after our women. They are after our welfare money. They are here committing voter fraud and all of these things that are destructive, or so it's pictured, to our way of life.
And John Tanton died about 2 years ago. By the time that happened, he was a controversial figure. I just wonder if, you know, in his lifetime, he had anything to say about his own legacy when confronted with it.
He really said nothing. For the last years of his life, Tanton was quite ill, so he didn't speak much publicly. But I think he was quite aware that these things were being said about him, that his papers, his personal papers, which had been deposited in the university library in Michigan, had been unearthed, in effect, and were revealing some rather nasty things about him. I do know that Tanton took steps to try and reseal some of the papers which had become public, and in fact was successful in doing that.
And so what do you think his legacy is? And also, where is his movement headed?
Well, his legacy is one of destroying any prospect of real immigration reform in this country at a time when I think it's perfectly obvious to people, reasonable people on the left and the right, that we need. The job now, it seems to me, is to finally, once and for all, delegitimize the Tanton Network. You know, let's not treat these groups as legitimate commentators on immigration policy, because they are not.
But how do you do that in this climate when Donald Trump still has a grip on the Republican Party?
That is a very difficult question to answer. The effort of myself and a number of colleagues has been to recognize that the left or the center left alone cannot accomplish comprehensive immigration policy in this country. So, you know, what that means in concrete terms is not only providing some kind of pathway to citizenship for the many people who are here and not documented, but at the same time, taking actions to support border security, to raise penalties or actually impose penalties on people who knowingly and hire undocumented workers and so on.
You know, Mark, the irony is that, you know, the center right and the right even appeared willing to do those sorts of negotiations until John Tanton came around.
Yeah. I mean, you look at things like people like Marco Rubio, right, who are like completely, you know, retracted what they said about immigration reform. There are a lot of Republicans like that who are pretty moderate on this. But post-Trump, you know, they don't believe they can be.
Mark Potok is with the Center for Analysis of the Radical Right. Thank you very much.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.